Hey there, welcome to episode 5 of season 5 of Victims Are Fun. We are here in the beautiful west coast of Florida. We're in a little outdoor cafe that got some Hawaiian music playing in the background. There's a girl here playing the guitar, a little Hawaiian guitar. I don't know if that's got a special name to it, but it's definitely a Hawaiian guitar, and I don't know if it's got a special name or not, but whatever. Welcome to Victims of Fun. Remember, you can email us at victimsoffun@mail.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram just by doing a search for Victims of Fun. And, you follow us on Anchor, Spotify, Pandora. And if you follow us on Spotify or any of the other podcast hosts, you can become a supporter and send me some money, because I need money. Seriously, you should be giving me money and send it my way, because I need it more than you do. And every episode of Victims of Fun costs me $200,000 to produce. You know, I want to start getting some of that Bill Burr, Joe Rogan cash. You know what I'm saying? But, hope everybody's doing okay this week. It's been an interesting week. Type of thing. Hope everybody's doing good. It's been nice and sunny here in Florida. And, there you go. So I saw a really good movie this week. Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. He's got this movie out called Nobody, and it doesn't officially take place in the John Wick universe, but it's by the same people that did John Wick, and basically he's like a more common person thinking man's John Wick. And he's like John Wick, but he's different because he's Bob Odenkirk. And John Wick is more like elite type of thing. He's got the whole world of assassin thing going on, where Odenkirk's character, Nobody, is a former assassin for the government, an ex-military guy who just decided to retire and live with his family and type of thing. But it's very good. Apparently, he trained for 2 years because he wanted to do his own stunts. And for somebody his age to make the commitment to that is incredible. But the stunt work is really good. It's a very violent movie, but it's more like a... It's more like a Bugs Bunny violence, because some of the kills he does is like straight out of Looney Tunes. And it's a lot funnier than John Wick. They're both great movies, but I don't want to say Nobody was played for laughs, because it's definitely not a comedy, but it's more comedic. And it's kind of self-aware, type of thing. Like, you always wonder about where all those dead bodies go that these people in these movies kill, and there never seems to be repercussions for it. Well, they kind of touch on that in this film. Basically it's like, it's usually just taken care of type of thing. It's a good movie, though. It's very good stunt work, and what I love is Christopher Lloyd is in it, and you have not experienced cinema until you see Christopher Lloyd at 77 years old with a shotgun blowing people away in the final battle. It's like incredible. And RZA from Wu-Tang Clan is in it. He comes in at the very end. But it's a very good movie. It's called Nobody. It's streaming, and you should go see it in the theaters, though. It was a very good movie. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It was very, very entertaining. What I liked about it, too, is they drop the F-bomb all the time, but there's no, political stuff in it. There's no nudity, believe it or not. There's no sex scenes, no nothing. It's just a lot of violence and a lot of dropping of the F-bomb. So it's, you know, kind of like a whole Looney Tunes thing going on there. See, that's the type of violence it is, Looney Tunes violence. And what I mean by that is the violence is so nonsensical and over the top that you really can't take it, seriously. Like, if you saw a movie like Hannibal or Silence of the Lambs or Saw, where the violence is and it's more realistic as far as what happens to the people, the injuries they suffer. You know, it's more realistic, which is disturbing. But in something like Nobody, it's just so over the top goofy that it's just, you know, it borders that whole Looney Tunes, Wile E. Coyote getting blown up and, Daffy Duck getting lit on fire type of violence, which is hysterical, I think. But see, there's different ways you can portray violence. In movies, you can either take it very seriously, or you can do it to almost like a comedic effect. Like, there's this movie called Ricky O, Legend of Ricky O. It's a Hong Kong movie based on a Japanese manga of the same name, and it's probably one of the most incredibly violent movies ever made, but the movie plays it off as, it's not a comedy, but it is. Legend of Ricky O. Just go on YouTube, Ricky. Just go on YouTube and type in Ricky O, and you'll see the way that Ricky kills people in this movie. Because he's in jail, he's basically like Asian Superman in this film. Like, nothing can hurt him, nothing can kill him. There's a scene where he gets his arm ripped open, and he takes his own arm tendons and muscles and ties him in a knot and repairs his arm. I mean, it's just, he's exploding people's heads. He's popping their eyeballs out. One guy's in a fight with him and he's losing, so he takes a knife and rips his own intestines out and tries to choke Ricky with it. And it's just, Ricky's punching through people into their spine, and people are getting thrown in meat grinders, and people's heads are exploding, and it just, it's the violence in it is so over the top that you can't really take it seriously. Again, it's Bugs Bunny type violence. It's extremely graphic, but it's not realistic. Like, you don't hit somebody in the back of the head and have both their eyeballs come flying out of their skull. I mean, that just does not happen. And of course, in real life, a bird, unlike in the movie, a bird wouldn't grab the eyeball in mid-flight and take off with it. That doesn't work. it just doesn't happen. So that's kind of like a cartoony violence thingamajig, which is, it can be funny. It's still violence, but it's just, you can't take it seriously. But then you have movies that have extremely realistic depictions of violence in gore and death, like Saving Private Ryan, which is a fantastic movie until they get off the beach, and then the rest of the movie sucks. Sorry, it just does. The initial D-Day landing, though, is just horrific as far as the injuries that everybody's sustaining and everything else, and it's graphic. Saw, what happens to the people in Saw is disturbing as hell because of the way it's presented and the way it's filmed. I mean, some of it's over the top. Nobody builds machines that will twist your head around and everything, but the way they show that is realistically, if it happened, is this is how you would see it in real life if somebody's head was just twisted around. Like in movies, a lot of times when something like that happens, their head goes all the way to the back and they're looking behind them before they die, or their head pops off. That doesn't happen. in real life. What you see in a movie like Saw, when they put that one guy in a machine and it twists his head all the way around, that's really what it would look like if it was actually happening. I think Saw even had, like, medical professionals that were involved in the film to display the injuries and the death as realistically as possible, because it's just, it's horrific. But yeah, if you ever get on YouTube, just check out Ricky O. It's, I mean, you gotta have a, you know, the violence is so over the top that it can't even bother you, because it's hysterical, where I'm more bothered by something like Psycho than something like Ricky O, because Psycho is more, you know, different class of film, and the violence is presented as, you know, just shocking and disturbing, where in Ricky O it's presented as a joke. Even though in Ricky O it's 100 times worse, you know, people's eyeballs flying out, their guts getting ripped out, you know, their heads exploding, and it's just, you know, the one guy's head explodes and his body keeps running around trying to keep throwing karate chops. I'm like, what the hell is this? You know, it's hysterical. But I always said if I had a different life and I ended up making movies, I would have filmed something that was so over the top violent, but in a cartoony way, that it would kind of be like Ricky O. It would just be, you know, what I love about some of these movies is no matter what kind of car accident you're in, your car explodes. I mean, Mythbusters totally, you know, took that idea and just disproved it immensely. You know, a car hitting a fruit stand does not explode. You know, but in a lot of these movies, the cars just blow up for some, you know, you're chasing a bad guy, you cut him off, he ends up, you know, hitting a fruit stand and the car explodes, and like a small tactical nuclear explosion. I'm like, well, no, that doesn't happen. You know, that's not how it goes, but yeah, that's what you see sometimes. And people are saying, well, you know, the violence is going to desensitize you, but we're desensitized to so much in society now anyway, that, you know, nothing really shocks people really anymore. I mean, Human Centipede, I think, was the last film that people just were like, whoa, wait a minute, that kind of crosses a line. You know, Human Centipede was just, ugh. I mean, Human Centipede, some people either liked it and thought it was brilliant, and other people said it should have been banned. I mean, I don't know if you know about this movie or not, so basically what happens is this crazy scientist, and I think it's Udo Kier, the German actor. I think it's actually him. I could be wrong. I should look this up on my phone. But so basically what happens in Human Centipede is this crazy doctor kidnaps some young people, and he decides that he wants to create a human centipede. Now, no, it's not Udo Kier, it's Dieter Lasser. Okay, Dieter Lasser kind of reminds me of Udo Kier. He's kind of like if you know who Udo Kier is, he's in a lot of these type of movies where they need a bad German. But Dieter Lasser is the other one, and he actually died recently, but he was incredible. He was in that film, he was in the TV show Lex, he was in Human Centipede. He was a method actor, so during the Human Centipede, he stayed in character as much as he possibly could. And, you know, that type of thing. He actually won the German version of Best Actor for a movie called John Gluckstadt. I think that was in 19... Yeah. 1975. He won that. And he was also in The Glass Cell, which was an Oscar-nominated Best Foreign Language film. I'm trying to think what else. He was in this film called Baltic Storm. Baltic Storm is actually a pretty good movie. It was about the MS Estonia disaster. Basically, it was about the MS Estonia disaster was it was one of the worst maritime disasters of the 20th century. It was really a horrific thing. He was in that. But anyway, so he was in the film version of it. So, Human Centipede. So basically what happens is he wants to take people, and what he does is he in his character is like a world-renowned expert in like separating what do they call it? Siamese twins. Okay. But he got this idea that instead of separating people, now he wants to join them together. So he wants to create a human centipede by sewing people in a line, like a centipede, connecting the victim's mouth to anus so that they share a single digestive system. Basically what happens is, so you're connected. If you're unlucky enough to be the middle centipede, your mouth is connected to the person in front of you's ass. And the guy, the person behind you, their mouth is connected to your ass. And so the guy, the person in front of the centipede eats. Their defecation travels into your mouth, into your digestive system, into the mouth of the guy, the person behind you, and in and out his ass. He severs the ligaments of her knees so that they have to crawl and they look like a centipede. And that's basically what the whole point of the movie is. He creates these things, and the whole point, one of the catchphrases of the movies was it was based on true medical science. And the filmmakers were trying to claim that this actually was medically possible. I think everybody dies of sepsis in this film. It's a really, really, it's a horrific film. It was just basically, it's disgusting. So you see something like that, which is, and then there's another movie called Tusk. So Tusk is a Kevin Smith film, and you have this guy, normal guy, with a girlfriend and everything, and he ends up being trapped in a house with a crazy man who, whose life was saved by a walrus. And this guy's obsessed with walruses, and what he does is he attempts to create a living walrus out of a person, and he does this by medically breaking their legs to create flippers, taking their fibulas and making them into tusks, and surgically implanting them into the person's mouth, and then sewing skin around them stuffed with fat so that they look like white. It's really, dude, it's messed up. He cuts the guy's vocal cords out so the only thing you do is grunt like a walrus. And in the film, he does this to this guy. And this is the first one of his victims that actually survives the process. And he's all patched up. He's got patches of skin all over him. And he kind of looks like a really disgusting walrus. And the guy is crazy, and he reveals that he had to kill the walrus that saved his life, I guess, to eat him for food or some crazy backstory. So he wants to be killed by a walrus, which is the guy he created. So it's messed up because what's this? The kid from The Sixth Sense is in it, Haley Joel Osment, or Omelette, whatever the hell his name is. Dude, he got fat too, by the way. And it's a really disturbing movie called Tusk. It's very... Oh, God. And so the guy looks like a... you know, at the end of the film, he's a walrus for all intents and purposes. He's a sewn up, you know, version of a walrus. It's just, it's disgusting. The only thing I didn't understand was at the end, you know, he's living in a enclosure with a pool, and his girlfriend, well, who's, I guess they're not dating anymore because he's a walrus, and his best friend come to see him and bring him fish, and it's very sad. And I'm thinking to myself, well, he's not really a walrus. This is just all sewn to him, on him. The skin and everything else and the blubber that was stuffed. Now, why didn't you take him to a hospital and they can undo most of the damage that was done to him? Now, granted, he had his lower legs cut off and had his vocal cords cut out and had these things implanted into his jaw, but you know, that bulk around him is just holding in the stuffing for the suit or whatever, and I imagine after a couple months of surgery, he would, you know, come out of it with most of his facilities intact. I don't know what mentally he would be like, but, you know, you can make prosthetic lower legs, and, you know, plastic surgery or whatever could fix probably where they would have to remove the fake tusks that were drilled and implanted into his upper jaw, you know, and then you have, you know, dentures. As far as his vocal cords getting cut out, well, they make those little machines that you hold to your, you know, people have throat cancer, yet you hold them to your thing, to your throat, and you can talk, and apparently those little machines now are so good, you don't even sound like a robot anymore, so he could pretty much get 80% of his life back, but you're leaving him there in the pool with a fish. See, I'm thinking the best friend's now banging the girlfriend, and it's like, well, let's just leave Tusk in the water. The other thing about the movie is they never played Tusk by Fleetwood Mac, which would have been great. That could have been the song at the end of the film. but yeah, it's there's some really weird, freaky movies out there. There's another one by a Japanese director. Let me pull his name up. Anyway, the name of the movie is The Wrestling Calamari Wrestler. Or is it The Wrestling Calamari? I think it's Calamari The Calamari Wrestler is a 2004 Japanese film by director Minoru Kawasaki. So basically what happens is it is a professional wrestler. It's in Japanese. It's in Japan. And it's basically, there's a professional wrestler, he develops a terminal illness, and he transforms into a giant squid-like creature. And as a giant squid, he must battle to reclaim his former life, both inside and outside the ring. So, he gets some sort of disease, and he turns into a giant walking squid that's about 7 feet tall with tentacles. And he's a pro wrestler, and he continues to wrestle. And he's got a girlfriend, and his girlfriend realizes that, oh my god, this calamari is my missing boyfriend. And if you've ever been to Japan, you kind of, anything involved with tentacles kind of usually leads to some rather unusual situations, let's put it that way, and yeah, so you have the calamari wrestler and he's got a girlfriend and squid of tentacles. You can see where this is headed. And that's exactly where it heads in the film. Okay, she basically treats him like he's still human, even though he looks like a giant squid. And what's hysterical is that the guy, the wrestler, and there's all pro wrestlers in the film, so it's not actors pretending to be pro wrestlers. These guys are really good. A lot of them worked for New Japan and for All Japan and everything, which are pro wrestling organizations. And the calamari is actually portrayed by a very, very good professional wrestler named Nishimura Osumu. He worked for NJPW and Muga Worldwide Pro Wrestling, and he's very, very, he's a badass. He portrays a wrestling calamari, and so go on YouTube and look it up. The Calamari Wrestler. Giant calamari in a wrestling ring. I wonder what John Cena would do with him. Well, he wouldn't see John. Did you see what John Cena did? All right, so, you know, I know I don't get political on this show, but I have to with this. So, John Cena is promoting the new Fast and the Furious movie. I think they're up to 9. Oh, by the way, in this new Fast and Furious movie, they go into space. They build a rocket car. Jumping the shark. Yeah. So anyway, so let me backtrack a little bit. Hollywood is messed up beyond belief now, because any big budget movie from Hollywood is so expensive to make that the domestic gross from what it'll make just in the United States is not enough anymore to make it a profit. Okay, it just, there's no way. When these movies are costing $200, $250, $300 million to make, it ain't making that just in America. It's just not, it's impossible for that to happen. So they have to rely on the foreign markets a lot. And China is a huge, huge market for movies. And Chinese people go to the cinema a lot. And they love superhero movies. They love big budget action movies. They love the Fast and the Furious. So a lot of these Hollywood big budget movies will do things to make sure that they're acceptable and even geared towards the Chinese market more than they're geared towards the American market. There was one of the Iron Man movies where at the end of the, I think it was Iron Man 3, where he finally gets the shrapnel taken out of his heart. Because that was the whole thing with Tony Stark. He had shrapnel in his heart, and the arc generator he wore in his chest was keeping the shrapnel from further going into his heart, in addition to powering the Iron Man suit. Well, at the end of Iron Man 3, he gets surgery, he gets open heart surgery to remove the shrapnel. And they film that scene with some very well-known, but not to America, but to China, very well-known Chinese actors and actresses. Just that one scene. They did that specifically so that they could put this in the Chinese market and make a lot more money. When they made the Top Gun sequel, which has not been released yet. Now, if you remember, in the original Top Gun, Tom Cruise wore that very famous leather jacket with all the patches on it. One of the patches on the original jacket was of the nation of Taiwan. And let's be perfectly clear, Taiwan is its own country. It is not a breakaway province of China. I don't give a flying rat's ass what anybody says. Taiwan is a country. And if you have a problem with it, you can email me over it. So, Tom Cruise's leather jacket and Top Gun has a patch of the Taiwanese flag in the back. So they make the sequel of Top Gun, and he's got the original jacket. Except that they took the Taiwanese flag off of it because they did not want to offend the Chinese in the Chinese market, because it's never going to make its money here. It's going to make its money over there because the Chinese love Top Gun. They like Tom Cruise. So they're kowtowing, which is something you are forbidden to do in China. Kowtowing means prostrating yourself before the emperor. That was one of the things of the revolution over there, is you don't kowtow to that. But Hollywood is kowtowing to the Chinese by doing shit like that. So John Cena is in China promoting Fast and the Furious. And he referred to Taiwan as a country because he's John Cena, and despite what you may think of him, he's an idiot. Fine, he learned to speak Mandarin very well. Because, you know, he just did. It's got a thing for the Chinese culture. And you think, having a thing for the Chinese culture, he'd know not to refer to Taiwan as a country while he's in China. But he's John Cena. Maybe they thought they didn't see him. So he accidentally refers to Taiwan as a country. Well, the whole nation of China is in an uproar. And they force him to film a video that's put on Twitter of him speaking in Mandarin, apologizing profusely to the Chinese for referring to their breakaway province as a country, as a nation. All because they want the Fast and the Furious to make a ton of money. Well, guess what? The Fast and Furious opened in China and it bombed because the Chinese people just, I guess, were very angry or just something, and it bombed. It bombed in China. So he did all that for nothing, and all the goodwill, because John Cena is the most requested Make-A-Wish person that Make-A-Wish ever had. And whatever you thought of Cena as a wrestler, which he was not good, he was over-pushed and overhyped. You know, he always put his time in the gym. He always did what the McMahons asked him to. He was a good little soldier. He knew his role. He didn't have an arrogance about him like The Rock or Stone Cold or even Hogan. He did what he had to do. And he did every single Make-A-Wish that was ever thrown at him. No matter where he had to go for it or what he had to do, he did it. And he blew all of that away for a 45-second apology to a country that kills its own citizens and right now has genocidal concentration camps for some other of its citizens. So, yeah. Hollywood is really, really messed up. And I know people working in Hollywood. I know a couple actresses in Hollywood. I am very good friends with a very, very famous A-list actress whose name I will not mention because our friendship has been a secret for a while. And I know how things work over there. And it's total bullshit. It's all about money, nothing else. You know, John, I hope your 30 pieces of silver were good, because all those Muslims are dying in that concentration camp in China. I'm sure they would love to see you, if you get my drift. So, now I've gotten political and alienated all the Chinese people who listen to my podcast, of which there are none, we're going to take a commercial. Hey, who's our commercial sponsor today? Great Wall Chinese Takeout. Shit. And we are back on Victims of Fun. I'd like to read a statement. I, El Stevo, am saying the following statement without a gun pointed at my head. Taiwan is a breakaway... No, I'm just kidding. It's pretty much what they do now, anyway. They kind of force you to say stuff like that, you know. Type of thing. What are you gonna do? This girl playing this guitar is actually pretty good. You know. The only thing I could play is harmonica. I could play bass, but I'm not that good. Actually, I'm looking to get into... I want to start making my own, like, electronic music. Yeah, it'd be a good thing to kind of partner up along with the podcast, because it'd be something else I create that nobody will listen to. Oh, boy. Anyway, so I'm trying to decide between Logic Pro and FL Studio, and my cousin's fiancé uses FL Studio. Actually quite good at it, and, you know, made a bunch of mixes and everything, and he swears by it. But I do have an Apple, and I'm thinking, you know, for compatibility issues, I would go with Logic. But, you know, I've been watching YouTube videos on which one's better, and, a lot of times you look at YouTube and you're looking for reviews like, oh, Android versus Apple, PlayStation versus Xbox, that type of thing. It's always the same thing. Well, experts say that this is better, and in the next video it's like, well, experts say that this is better, and it's back and forth and back and forth, and you can never really get... And I don't trust review sites, because everybody is so bought and paid for by so many things that... Yeah, I don't know who to believe in. Both programs are kind of expensive, and you don't really get a free trial with all the features. Like, you get limited GIMP versions of them to try for a couple days, and you can't save any of your work. I'm like, well, how am I supposed to make a determination with that? They should give you a 7-day full version, just like if you had paid for it. And at the end of the 7 days, it locks you out. Unless you buy it and you get the code or whatever they have to. Because it looks complicated as anything. And, Steven was telling me, well, Steven's my cousin's fiance. And he's like, well, once you get the hang of it, he said, it's intuitive. It's easy. And I'm like, well, yeah, but... Like, you go on YouTube and you go all these videos of people, how to make beats with FL Studio or with Logic. And there's a lot of screens, and there's a lot of moving stuff around, and it seems so complicated. And then it's like, well, you really should have, like, a MIDI keyboard to, like, manipulate some of the sounds and make it better, and you add on this, and next thing you know, your $300 investment in the software has turned into, like, $2,000 worth of DJing equipment. And, it's like, well, what the heck? I mean, I want to do it because I think I could come up with some pretty, pretty murderous beats here. But, I don't want to spend the money on something I can't return and then not figure it out, not get the hang of it, and get frustrated. And then I've blown $300 on a program eating up a big portion of my hard drive. And I'm like, ugh. It's just... See, if I was going to do that, I would get another Seagate SSD drive that would just be dedicated to the software. And I would keep that, when I was ready to mix, I would just plug that in and use that as my, my drive for the mixing. Because, I have a Seagate SSD drive that does the podcasting stuff. I keep it separate from everything else. And I probably have to have one for that. But it looks complicated. And there's YouTube videos on how to do it. And there's books on how to do it. And it seems very helpful. But it just... Maybe it's my age. Or maybe it's just... when you try anything new like this, it just seems overwhelming. It's like when I got the Apple, this MacBook, for the first time. It's the first time I had ever owned an Apple computer. And, being used to, Windows PC units my whole life. The Apple operating system and the way you do things is completely different. And when I remember I got it, I opened it up. And I'm like, ugh. What? How do I do this? And don't get me wrong. This is a new MacBook Air M1 with the new chip. And... It's beautiful. I love this thing. It's fantastic. I got the gold edition, the golden one. And it's even beautiful to look at. It's a fantastic machine, but... the first 10 days I had it, I was saying, okay, how do I do this? How do I do that? Like on Windows, you just right-click an image you want to save. On this thing, you don't do that. And I ended up having to get a Magic Keyboard, a Magic Mouse, because I've never been good with trackpads. And I'm used to a normal keyboard. And so that's why I got both of these. But this thing is incredible. But it was a bit of a learning curve anyway for me, never having been exposed to anything Apple other than my phone. And So I guess that's the same thing with these mixing programs. And yeah, it was the same with like GarageBand and you know, creating the podcasting, you know, getting GarageBand over. I was like, oh God, what the hell is this? And eventually I got it. But, you know, I tried FL Studio back in the day when it was called Fruity Loops, and it just confused the hell out of me. Now everybody says it's gotten a lot better because they got, you know, all this feedback over the past 10 or whatever years that they've been making this thing, and Logic, a lot of the things you do in Logic are patterned after the way you would do things on FL Studio. But, you know, I'm getting conflicting reports on YouTube and from people which one to use, and, you know, you kind of get tricked. I don't want to say tricked on purpose, but you see, like, oh, leading techno artist, you know, DJ Squeezebox says FL Studio is how I make all my beats and everything and play in Ibiza and all the clubs. And then you see a video where, you know, well-known trance artist, you know, Fred from Mars, you know, makes all his trance music and techno on Logic, and, you know, it's, you don't know. I mean, I guess it comes down to, you know, you like Burger King or McDonald's. They're both hamburgers. They're made different. One's fried, one's flame broiled. Some people swear by McDonald's, some people swear by Burger King, some people like me don't eat either one. But I guess it's just personal preference. I'd rather stick with Logic because it's an Apple product, and I know I won't have any compatibility issues. And even though FL Studio is available for iOS and everything else, in the back of my mind, do I want something that's designed to work on multiple systems, or do I want something that's designed to only work on the system I use and nothing else, because then I know that everything in it is geared towards running smoothly and properly on the machine I have. That's kind of tilting it to what I want, but I just want to make sure that all the features I want are available. You know, and actually it's a little bit cheaper than FL Studio. Logic is, Logic is cheaper than FL Studio, which is considerably more. You know, I just want to make some beats and, you know, make some techno, some trance, some dubstep or whatever, and, you know, put it up on iTunes or, you know, cross-promote it with the podcast, and, you know, maybe I'll make some money. I mean, you look at, like, when, you know, FL Studio is ranked third, Logic Pro X is ranked eighth as far. I wonder what's ranked number one. You know? Seriously. I wonder what's ranked number one. Okay. So, the pros for Logic Pro. Cheaper than other similar programs. It costs $200 and must be bought from the App Store. Comes with 56 gigs of content. High quality instruments and effects. Free corresponding iPad app, which I don't have an iPad, so whatever. UI designed for ease of use. Studio standard. Allows users to program their own tools. I don't even know how to do that. Free update from Logic. Uses minimum amount of CPU. There we go, it's more stable. Easy to learn, makes writing easy, and keeps technical in the background. Okay. Does a lot of work for you. Full external MIDI support, many instruments. many plugs in, used by celebrities. I don't know who any of these people are. Virtual drummer. All right, so cons. Only compatible with Mac. Poor audio editor. Audio editor is a lot less intuitive and accessible than others. Lags or crashes often. This happens usually when there's a lot going on in the track. Unusable with lots of plugins, stutters and clicks. Non-free software. No support for 32-bit plugins. Third-party plugins are rarely updated. Next, impossible to organize your mixer channels. Too big, very buggy. So that's Logic. So if you go with Fruity Studio. Free lifetime updates. Excellent for visual learners. Easy to install. Easy to learn DAW. Each update is major. Pro sampler. Fully open. Accepts a variety of formats. Intuitive piano roll. I don't know what that is. Inbuilt cross 32-64-bit plugin bridge. You don't need to install a third-party bridge, whatever. Very comprehensive plugin suite included. Scalable interface. Don't know what that is. Smooth UI. Supports resampling. Perfect for engineering because of the production style workflow. Fully vectorial UI. Will scale any screen. Sample MIDI manipulation in playlist mode. Can import, export 32-bit audio. Good for the studio. Unlimited creativity. VJ graphic generation. I don't know what that is. Non-invasive DRM. Modular environment. It's the only DAW where you can program real scratching sequences. I don't know why I would do that. A flexible internal linking engine imports video for scoring. I don't want to do that. Powerful sound editor. Reasonable liberal license. Buy once and you're allowed to use it on every computer you own. Amazing sequence. Has the best startup sound. Run on Linux. Complete control over multiple launch pads. Shows every instrument notes in the background. Cons. Not intuitive for track-based recording approach. Audio recording is not as good as the other DAWs. Most controls are hidden. The browser is archaic. Shortcuts are weird. Not great for mixing. The GUI is very difficult to see. Everything. It's more like a Fisher-Price My First DAW than a real, truly professional DAW. Tendency to crash. Lack of other MIDI keyboard brands. Bad sound for expensive piano plugin. No 64-bit version available. Non-free. Cannot customize the GUI. So, I don't know. Then there's a whole bunch of other alternatives, which, you know, whatever. But, you know, I'd like to get involved in something like that and just, you know, start making my own. You know, I mean, I don't know if I would ever download and listen to it, but, you know, I'd make myself a nice little techno or trance type of dance album, and just all instrumental, of course, and just, you know, upload it to iTunes, put it on Spotify, and maybe people will buy it. You know, I don't know. Nobody listens to the podcast. I'm sure the same amount of people would, you know, buy my music. I don't know. It's crazy. I'd have to come up with a DJ name. I actually have a DJ name, you know, because you always have to have a DJ name, unless you're like Paul Oakenfeld or somebody, use your real name. So I would be called King Scruffy. I'd be like, oh, the new release from King Scruffy, you know, and then there you go. I'd make this whole King Scruffy persona. You know, maybe talk in the third person or wear black all the time or I don't know, something. Yeah, you always have to have a persona. You shouldn't just be yourself. Being yourself is good for your private life, but if you're going to be trying to market yourself as a podcast or a musician or something, you need to have a persona. You know, something that people can go, oh, okay, that's King Scruffy. Right there, you know, that's what I would do, and I would just probably eventually get a YouTube channel, I don't know, something, you know, it's just all passive income, I would never want to be a YouTube influencer, though. I don't even know what a YouTube... I don't even know what a social media influencer is. Like, I see that thrown around all the time. What the hell is a social media influencer? And I did some digging. And apparently it's somebody who has a big following on YouTube or Instagram or Snapchat or TikTok for whatever reason. Or Twitch. And they have this big following on there. And they get so many people watching them that sponsors basically give them free stuff to promote or wear because they get, like, you know, 2 million views no matter what they do. And I just, there was something on the news, there's some girl who's a she's a Twitch influencer. She streams herself playing video games from a bathtub or something. I don't know. It's like really stupid, but she gets so many people on her Twitch stream and makes so much money from the ads that puts up there that she just bought like a $2 million apartment in LA overlooking the city. And she's only like 23. And I'm like, what the hell is this shit? How do I get in on this? But, you know, every time Kim Kardashian, like, does an Instagram post, it gets like 5 million views and she makes like $180,000 per post. Somebody told me it was like around 180. Every time Kim Kardashian makes an Instagram post, she makes about $180,000. Just in views and sponsorship and everything else. I'm like, what the hell is that? And apparently that's what a YouTube or a social media influencer is. Like, if you're a if you're somebody who, like, say I just created a line of handbags. I have my hand-built handbags. It's me and my family, and we're making hand-built custom handbags. And, you know, we sell a couple dozen a year. We want to start selling more. I managed to get the handbag into the hands of Kim Kardashian, who is then photographed holding with the handbag on. And suddenly, I've got orders for like 500,000 handbags. That is a social media influencer. Now, concurrently, I'm somebody that Kim Kardashian has my product all the time. Victims of Fun sunblock. And she uses it. And one day, she decides, oh, I was using this Victims of Fun sunblock and I got a sunburn. It doesn't work. And she goes on social media and goes, you know, I'm stopping using Victims of Fun sunblock because I got a sunburn. Suddenly, I'm out of business because nobody's going to buy from me ever again because Kim Kardashian and her big ass just said my sunblock sucks. But she's so stupid, she probably went out and put vegetable oil on herself. But that's apparently what a social media influencer is. It's somebody who can make or break a product line because they have so many clicks and so many viewers. And they don't necessarily have to be somebody famous. They don't have to be like Tom Cruise or Kim Kardashian. This girl who Twitch streams herself playing video games from a tub, I don't even remember her name. I think whatever. But she made enough to buy a $2 million condo in LA. You know, seriously? And I can't even get you guys to send me like $5? Like, what the hell is up with that crap? Maybe I'll start doing the podcast from a tub. You probably pay me not to show that. But, you know, the hell is this? You know, I think I was born too early. I should have been born in like, I don't know, 2000, man. I'd totally be like a social media influencer. You know, it's too late now. I don't think you can be a 53-year-old social media influencer. You know, but, you know, it's crazy. I mean, and these people don't produce anything. They don't make anything. They don't build or anything. All they do is survive on their social media, and they're living like it's a Truman Show, with, like, cameras following them all the time. And it's crazy. I mean, I saw one girl. She makes a ton of money. She's Japanese or Chinese or something. And all she does is eat bread. That's all she does. She doesn't even talk. She just eats bread. And, like, hundreds of thousands of people watch her eat bread. And because of the amount of people that watch her, She gets a lot of clicks. She makes a lot of money. I mean, if I made, you know, my goal of this podcast was to make like $500 a month. If that, you know, maybe five, between, under 1,000 was my goal. If I can make between 500 to 1,000 a month from this podcast, from sponsorships or from donations or whatever, you know, I would be happy as hell, because that would pay, you know, for a lot of things, because I'm not a very materialistic person. Yeah, obviously, yeah, if I hit the lottery, or if somebody said, hey, Steve, here's $2 million, I'd be like, oh, hell yeah, give me this. But, you know, if I was making, you know, $500, $600 a month from this podcast, oh my God, that would be the greatest thing in the world. I mean, I could, you know, do a lot with that. And these people, and this girl just pays $2 million for a freaking condo in LA. I mean, really? Really? For $1,000 a month on top of, like, everything else I get, I could actually afford to, you know, do my dream of, you know, living in a boat somewhere. You know? I mean, I could probably pull off living in the marina at Monaco, because I was pricing how much it is to live there per month, and, you know, with an extra $1,000 a month, I could actually pull it off. But, I don't know. It's crazy. You know, I don't get it. And why can't these social media influencers, like, hype up my favorite crypto? You know, make the price go up. You know, I'm holding one crypto. I've got, like, 200,000 of it. And, like, if somebody hyped it up and it went to a dollar, I'd, like, cash it all out and I'd be set. It's called Electronium, by the way. The symbol is ETN. I'm going to do an entire episode based on it, because I want to get the price up. But it's crazy. You know, I want to be a social media influencer. Okay, here, let's try an experiment. I'm going to try to socially influence you into something. Something obviously other than listen to my podcast, because, you know, or send me money, because people don't do it. So, you know, I had a White Castle hamburger the other day, and White Castles are the greatest hamburgers on the planet. I didn't actually have one, but I've had them before in the past when I was eating stuff like that, and they're very good. So there's my social media post. Influencer post. Go eat some White Castle. Actually, what I'm trying to do is I have the microphone that I use for my podcast is by a company called Blue, and they make some of the best microphones on the planet. Now, this isn't me just being, you know, hyperbole. This is true. They're the, you know, if you go into any recording studio, professional one, you know, U2, Sting, that type of thing, they have Blue microphones in those studios. More expensive than the one I have, but it's the same company. And I have a Blue Yeti Snowball. It's kind of, if you look at the logo for Victims of Fun, that circular thing on the tripod, that's the microphone by Blue. And it looks like a snowball. They make very retro looking stuff. So, Blue microphones are the microphones I use for this podcast, and they're the only ones I'll ever use, because they make an incredible product and they're very good. Well, Blue makes a headphone. They make a couple headphones, very high-end ones, and they make a headphone called the Ella. It has a built-in amp with some sort of different driver. I forget what it's called, but it's, this headphone's like $700, and you read any headphone review thing for serious audiophiles, this is like the Bugatti Veyron of headphones. Absolutely, just nothing gets better than this. Okay. So my iPod, my little iPod that I've had, it's a fourth generation. It finally died on me. And I need something to listen to my music in, because I don't like bringing my phone to, like, the beach, and I don't like I don't like streaming in my car. I don't have the... In my car, I do not have the Wi-Fi turned on because I don't feel like spending $24 a month for that. And I only have a 2 gigabyte a month limit on my data on my phone because I went from paying $80 a month for unlimited and I was only using a gig of data a month. And with T-Mobile now owning Sprint, they have a program where for 2 gigabytes a month, it's like $15 and change. I tracked my usage because it used to be Sprint, and I backtracked my usage for like the 3 years in the past. I never used more than 2 gigabytes. So I'm like, okay, well, I could get away with paying 15 as opposed to 80. And that's what I do. Now, to be on the safe side, I try not to stream music in my phone over Apple CarPlay because I'm pulling my data and I just don't want to take the chance that I eventually go over it, even though I never did. Now that I have a limit, I'm the type of person that, gee, now that I have a limit, I'm going to go over. So I wanted just a dedicated MP3 player, and Sony still makes Walkman. They're digital now, and they make this fantastic Walkman called the NWA-55. And it's like the gold standard of digital Walkman. And it plays every single format, lossless, FLAC, everything, high def, and it's expensive as hell. And I ordered one, but I ordered one from Japan. I got a special Japanese edition. Because you know, I'm just into that sort of thing. I should have bought it when I was there. So I need a pair of headphones that are going to justify this incredible device that will be here in a couple days to listen to all my music. And I listen to everything. Just my trance, my techno, my Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon. I listen to a lot of classical music, opera, jazz, blues, classic rock. It's all going to go on this player because I can stream it in my car. But I need a headphone, and this is a wired headphone. This is not wireless, because with the wire you don't lose any sound quality. So I need headphones that'll work perfect with this thing, and I want a pair of Blue Ellas, but I don't want to spend $700 on them. So what I've been trying to do is whenever I post on Twitter for Victims of Fun, I always make sure to shout out to Blue, and I kind of drop hints of, hey, you know, you should send me a pair of Ella headphones to, like, review. And I'm kind of hoping they do, because I'm going to spend $700 on this thing. But we'll see. When my Walkman gets here, I will do a show about it. But, yeah, maybe Blue will send me the headphones eventually. It'd be nice. Anyway, that's it for this edition of Victims of Fun. I hope you enjoyed. Remember, you can email me at victimsoffun@mail.com. That's victimsoffun@mail.com. You can listen to Victims of Fun on Anchor, Spotify, Pandora. And you can go to the Anchor website. And you could create your own podcast. It's simple, easy, and free, and you can make money off of it by them hooking up with advertisers. But I don't have enough listeners yet to get any advertising other than just Anchor. Yay. So you could do that, and you can actually podcast right from your phone. So I guess if you ever run into aliens, you could do that. And big shout out to Blue Microphone, Seagate, and Apple for the equipment that runs Victims of Fun. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Just type in Victims of Fun and look for the logo that's got the Blue Yeti snowball in it. Thank you very much. I will see you in a couple days, and we'll talk about some cryptocurrency. I'll open up my new Walkman digital player thingamajig, and I'll keep begging Blue to send me an Ella headphone. Remember, everybody, love each other. Good night. Is my pork fried rice ready? Taiwan's a country.